The John Schneider Show on Wyman and Bob every Thursday until draft day with Seahawks President of Football Operations, John Schneider.
We are eagerly awaiting the arrival of John Schneider. We'll step into our little room down there at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center in a matter of moments, and we'll pepper him with questions, Dave. We'll demand answers.
Yes, we will, and we love that little room down there, but it's much better here. Yeah. Getting a little chilly right now. Woke up this morning. It's kind of chilly here in down in Peoria. And
I don't think you're going to gain any sympathy from anybody listening.
I thought about
right
wearing
now.
Long pants. Bob had his long pants on. I had a long shirt ready to go, and then it warmed up. So very nice. Very nice.
I had my big boy pants on.
It's quite pleasant.
Yeah. Then we made the right decision, went with shorts.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this might. It's supposed to be like high of 62 with some rain tomorrow. So this could be our last nice day here, and then we'll head back to what is expected to be sunny Seattle this weekend. Can't wait for that. But you guys can text in 866-979-3776. Powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. We've got him now with us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. I don't know that he's heard his open yet. I'm not sure if he's heard it yet. But we're talking with the one, the only, John Schneider, President of Football Operations and General Manager of your Seattle Seahawks. Hello, John.
Guys, how's it going?
It's good. Going great. We're out here in Arizona. It's been beautiful.
It looks cloudy. Is it nice?
It's starting to get a little cloudy. Tomorrow's going to be the one day that's not supposed to be nice. It's been upper 70s the whole time we've been here. It's been really, really cool. But
awesome.
enough about us, John. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about what you've been doing. You've been busy. Give us the lowdown on the acquisition of Sam Howell.
Oh, yeah, Sam. That's a great, you know, we were kind of sweating that this morning, and talking to the Commanders and Adam Peters, our general manager, we were sweating that out. There were several teams involved with it, and Sam's a football player. I think that's the best way to describe it. You know, this guy's a play quarterback. When you watch, and then everybody saw him play out here. He had a great day against us this past fall. But he's a quarterback, but he's really a football player. That's what I love about him. You know, really tough. Young, you know, he's 23 years old and has 18 starts, you know, in the league already. And, you know, he's the same age as like Daniels from LSU and Rattler and Penix. And he's a year younger than Bo Nix. And, you know, so, you know, we're just really excited to be able to acquire him. And, you know, we know he's a serious dude. And, you know, he's into it. He works his tail off. We got great reviews on him and we loved him coming out of college. So, we're happy to get him in the mix. And Gino is the guy, and Sam will be backing him up.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going to ask you, John. So I'm pretty sure you told us about Leonard Williams, that he's a guy that you've had your eye on for a while, and that's the case with Sam Howell, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the day we played here was really, you know, that hit home how tough he was, how strong he was, you know, keeping his eyes downfield, finding the open receiver, and almost winning the game there at the end. I mean, he's like I said, you know, he's young, he's smart, he's tough, he's just a football player. And again, that I keep going back to that, but that's a legit thing. He's thrown the ball over, you know, shoot, this past year he threw it over 40 times in 8 games. He threw it 50 times in 2 games. So, you know, it was rough sledding, for him this past year, the Commanders. And obviously they're picking high and, you know, probably feel like they can get one of these top quarterbacks in the draft. And so they signed Marcus Mariota and we had great conversations with them. And, you know, we're blessed to be able to pull it off.
You said he's going to back Geno up. So just to clarify, this isn't a competition. Geno is going in as a starter. Sam will be his backup. There's no competition there.
Well, I'm sure there's competition, but, you know, as right now, I mean, Geno, it's not like we're signing him to go ahead and compete with Geno to be the starter, but I'm sure he's going to be giving it a run. He's a competitive guy.
Sorry, John. Tell us about Leonard Williams again. I mean, that was a big deal. Obviously, we want to know about linebackers, but, you know, as far as Leo goes, you said he could play all over. How unique is he? And then is he a guy that Mike McDonald looked at and goes, okay, this is just an absolute great fit for my defense? Or is it just that he's just a great football player and he'd fit in any defense?
No, great fit for his defense. And he could play, you know, from the zero to the three to five. And you could, like I said, you know, you said it, you hit it on the head. You can move around. You know, we were a little nervous there for a minute. The defensive tackles market was exactly what people said at the combine and actually a little higher. So, you know, we hung in there. His agents did a great job of working with us. And, you know, Leonard was in Bali and flew all the way back here and signed his contract. So we were, you know, like I told you guys last week, I mean, he was obviously our priority. You know, we gave up the pick for him last year, you know, the second round pick. So that was very important. And yeah, just thrilled to get him back in the building.
John, a couple of departures at the same spot. Your linebacker spot feels a little empty right now. I mean, you guys, Nick Ballore isn't there anymore. He was a great backup, but you have Bobby Wagner now headed out to Washington and Jordan Brooks headed to Miami. How tough were those decisions? Were you in the mix for him, or did you feel like, you know, or maybe Coach McDonald felt like, you know, we've got our eye on a different style at that spot? How do you speak to those departures? Yeah.
I mean, you have to allocate your funds in a specific manner. You have to be flexible and try to understand what's going on. I would say that the running back market and the linebacker market, they went much quicker this year than they have in the past. And so, you know, happy for those guys. I really am. You know, Bobby, obviously, Hall of Famer, legend here, and then in Jordan, you know, I mean, those guys, Miami stepped up and swooped in there and did a great job of acquiring him, and excited to see him back healthy next year and going. And obviously Bobby being with DQ again, it's going to be a cool thing. And obviously, you know, we feel like, you know, we have a need at linebacker, and we'll be working to address that position as well as a couple others and keep going here.
Hey, John, we talked about you, as far as the draft goes and also, you know, picking other coaches that would be a collaboration with those guys. And I kind of alluded to it a little bit with, you know, with Leo, you know, how much of it is about Mike McDonald's defense and how much of it is about Ryan Grubb and the way his offense plays. I mean, how much does that fit in? I mean, is it a little bit of both? Probably.
Yeah, it really is. I'm sorry I interrupted you, Dave.
Sure. Go ahead.
No, I mean, it definitely is. The collaboration's been great, you know, with the offensive and defensive staffs, knowing what they want, and then you know, getting their input on players. And, you know, in free agency, it's you're constantly moving. So, you know, this guy disappears, you pivot to a different position. Player B disappears, you pivot to another player or a different position. And these guys have been, they've been working with great with us, and they've been flexible, and, you know, everybody in the personnel department's been doing a great job of, you know, staying in contact with the agents, and, you know, now we could talk to the players as well. So yeah, it's great. You know, they had that week here together, the coaches, when we were at the combine. So we were able to get back together with those guys, kind of sit down and map things out with them and move forward. But it's always, you know, free agency is a different deal every year, man. It's hard to peg, and you have to put you have to make your priorities, and like I told you last week, it's not like you have a blank piece of paper and you just walk out there and say, okay, you know, we need a left tackle. Now we'll go get a pass rusher. Now we're going to, you're constantly adjusting to what the market is dictating. So, yeah, we're excited with the way it started, and you know, we still have some work to do, and we'll be recruiting some guys and trying to, you know, negotiate with some more players, and then all in the process of working towards a draft here, because that's going to come up real fast.
John, Dave and I have been speculating. You told us that story of a couple of weeks ago when we talked to you from the hotel room, and you said you were a little distracted because you were a little taken aback by the I guess the request, the salary request from the free agent's agent that you were speaking with. And we were, every week, every move that happened, we're going, it must have been this guy's agent. It must have been this guy's agent. No, looking at this deal, had to be Colby Parkinson's agent.
Maybe it was all of them.
Now I feel like it's Damian Lewis's agent, because he received a huge deal with the Panthers. I don't know if that surprised you at all, but now it appears you have a need at guard. But what can you say about that? Was that something you were in
Yeah, we would have loved to have Damian back. It's just, again, you know, you have to – when you're putting this together, it's definitely a puzzle piece. You know, it's a big puzzle, and you know, you have to allocate, you know, funds to different positions, and you have to stick to that. Otherwise you can get off course. And we're all very happy for Damian. You know, some teams, you know, people build their teams in different ways every single year. So, you know, down in Carolina, they're building it inside out, which is their prerogative. And you know, I'm sure they're excited about the two guards and Damian and Hunt that they signed. So, yeah, it's just part of the deal. It's never easy when guys like, you know, Bobby leave or Jordan leaves or Colby or, you know, Nick Pelor. I mean, these guys are great players, and, you know, more importantly, they're great people.
Hey, John, is that position one of the more misunderstood or hard to grade? Or, I mean, I feel like when it comes to guard, any offensive lineman, just the play. And, you know, we talked to Ray Roberts a lot because he's like, okay, that should have been the tight end blocking. You know, lots gets blamed on that. But, you know, as far as evaluation, is that one of the more challenging, just because they're working so closely with the guy next to him, and just how to grade them and things like that? Would you say that's probably,
yeah, absolutely,
tougher?
Yeah, hard to grade. I would say it's more the lack of depth and talent at the position over the years. We've seen it deteriorate. You know, there's not a lot of offensive linemen, you know, making blocks and then doing a sack dance. You know, I mean, it's a lot more fun when you're, you know, the young guys are, you know, playing defensive line. I would think a lot of guys would think that, you know, that's a little bit more fun than blocking for, you know, a quarterback or a running back. Right. So, yeah, it's just the nature of the position. It takes a special breed to play that spot. You know, I keep telling people all the time that my friends that, you know, are, you know, a couple friends that are like, you know, taller than myself, I'm like, okay, make sure your kid just get him big and get him some good feet, you know, like make him jump rope all the time and have him be an offensive lineman, because those guys are going to start getting paid. So, but no, the guys get overdrafted at that position, and in my opinion, they get overpaid.
Hey, John, what one move you guys made that I was a little confused by, and that was you restructured D. Eskridge's deal to some extent. I know this isn't huge money or anything, but I guess I'm just trying to figure out what it is he brings to the team, because he's a guy that's not been available for a lot of his time here because of injuries and some off the field issues as well. I don't quite understand his role or the significance of his spot on the roster. What do you see in D. Eskridge?
We want to give D a fresh start, second chance. You know, if our coaching staff would have been here, same as last year, you know, we would have probably said, hey, D, you know, it's might be a good time for you to, like, you know, get a fresh start somewhere else. But, you know, everybody in the building loves him, and, you know, there's a new staff here now. So, you know, we just told him, like, let's try this fresh again. What he gives you is a extremely explosive player with the ball in his hands, and you know, it's something where it clicks for people at certain times, and we want to give him the opportunity to have that to make that happen here. And you know, the staff, the guys that, you know, had evaluated him were very intrigued, this new staff very intrigued with his past, you know, the college play, and you know, he's a very highly thought of player coming out of college. And so, yeah, we just want to give him another shot, and we didn't want to, you know, we didn't want to be anywhere else. So, we were able to restructure his contract and get him back here, and hopefully he takes the ball and runs with it.
Kind of interesting, you know, with Will Dissly and Colby Parkinson signing elsewhere, but you signed back Noah Fant, and just tell us, you know, where you think he fits as far as ranking tight ends around the league. Like, he seems like a really good pass catcher, good after the catch. Tell us about his blocking and the attributes that made you want to hold on to him.
Yeah, well, he's definitely improved. He's improved as a blocker, but he's really, you know, he can be a special threat as a tight end in the passing game. And so pairing him with Pharaoh Brown, you know, Pharaoh, in our opinions, you know, top two, three blocking tight ends in the National Football League. He brings a nastiness to us. So those two guys' skill sets are going to be really nice. And, you know, I think it's those two guys working together is going to be a great fit. But, you know, I think it's really cool for the, you know, the NFL to basically see Colby and Diss and Noah. Like, that was a really good room, a very talented room last year. And, you know, really happy for Diss to be able to go down to the Chargers. And, you know, Colby, we would have loved to have Colby back as well. But, you know, the Rams swooped him up right away. And, you know, he went to high school right down there. So, you know, he's going home, so we're happy for him. But, yeah, I mean, you guys saw Noah. I mean, the last 2 years now, he's been explosive with the ball in his hand, and, you know, he can stretch a defense.
Well, and you guys bring in Farrell Brown, who, you know, just looking at numbers, not watching a bunch of his tape, numbers are pretty similar to what happened with Will last year, obviously at a much lower price. But what do you see out of Farrell Brown?
Well, he's a guy that can take care of the C-gap. He can really block down. He's nasty. He's going to bring a toughness to our offense. He's a tempo setter. I mean, he's a little bit of an old soul that way. He's gonna fight you and not back down. And I think that's gonna rub off on our offensive identity. I think you'll see that in the run game for sure.
Hey, John, we keep talking about how excited you were last year when we got you on. You just signed Drew Locke, and you know, I'm just curious about him because he didn't sign for a lot more. Than he was getting. Was it more about getting a chance to start, or what do you think? Just tell us the thinking there with Drew Locke, and you know how important your backup quarterback position is for you.
Yeah, another, well, you know, arguably the most important position on the field, right? But you know, not arguably, it is basically. But no, you know, another rough conversation. Really happy for Drew. He's able to, you know, it's really the opportunity, Dave. Yes, to your point. They basically sold him on the opportunity to compete to be a starter. And he felt like it was the right opportunity. He looked at Baker Mayfield's opportunity last year and felt that this could be something similar. And you know, he worked with Geno every day and you know, he obviously didn't feel that way, and so he made a career decision, and you know, we're rooting for him. He's a great person, and you know, obviously he came in the big trade we made several years ago and was a great fit in the building. And, you know, that's another guy. But look, all these guys that left, you know, especially, you know, Diggsy and Jamal and, you know, Diss and, you know, the Monet, the cap catcher guys, that was rough. And then, but, you know, these guys are leaving in free agency too. I mean, it's about their opportunity. And so you have to be, excited for those guys. Obviously, would love to have Drew back, but you know, he made a decision, and at that point, you know, that's when we got very active in the trade, the trade portion for the you know, the quarterback position.
Another guy you brought back is George Fant, and Seahawks fans are familiar with him. He's been with the Jets. You bring him back over. What's the, I guess, the plan for him? Is he depth? You know, if Abe Lucas can't go at right tackle, or do you have something different in mind for him?
Yeah, he did a really nice job last year, you know, down in Houston. But yeah, you know, kind of can play left tackle, can play right tackle, has played a little guard in the past. We know him very well, obviously. And yeah, he's a great guy. Really excited to be back in the building. And so it's great to see his smiling face today. He's a, you know, great competitor and really good dude. You know, it was pretty neat to see him, you know, hugging all the people in the building, and, you know, he's missed over the years. And so he was excited to get back. But, yes, his role will be as a, you know, like a utility offensive tackle.
Hey, John, you know, I'm not going to ask you exactly, you know, what your process is going to be to get linebackers. But, you know, we're looking at that position, and again, kind of with the same theme of, you know, how much of it is input from Mike McDonald and what he wants out of that position. And just, you know, was Jordan Brooks kind of like a, you know, we're not going to go over that we're disciplined, we have a number? Or was there something that he maybe wasn't the best at as far as the new defense? Just kind of tell me how that went down.
No, really, it was the timing of it. You know, we were working on Leonard. Leonard's deal took a while, and we knew Leonard's deal was going to affect, you know, all free agency. And so, you know, they had a deal on the table, and we just couldn't move as quickly as they could. They had They had lost out on a couple guys that day, and so they were moving quickly. And we had, you know, we had prioritized Leonard, you know, ahead of the linebacker position at that point. So it's basically like D-line ahead of a linebacker. And so, you know, you have to take emotion out of it. And, you know, because we love Jordan, drafted him number one here and everything. And you know, you have to take emotion out of it and just do what's best for the organization. And that's what we did. And so we prioritized Leonard. You know, Miami moved very, very fast with Jordan. And, again, they had lost on a couple of people, so they could move in a little bit quicker manner than we could.
One other new face out there is Rayshon Jenkins. You talked about Jamal and Quandre no longer here, so you got some spots to fill. How do you see him fitting in?
Yeah, he was a, you know, cap cut down in Jacksonville and played a lot of high, you know, one high this year for them, and then played down in the box as well. He's been known more as like a strong safety, but really aggressive. He was like the second guy, you know, to wear the dot. If a linebacker were to left the game, you know, he would have been able to call it for them. And, you know, smart football player, you know, like I said, we'll play probably more too high this year or split safeties. And he has ability to do both, and, you know, extremely disruptive player. You know, we loved him coming out of college. He was college roommates with Artie Burns, or college teammates with Artie Burns. And then, you know, we've watched him with the Chargers, and then obviously now most lately with Jacksonville. But yeah, that was, you know, he came here and visited and then was down in San Francisco. He's down in the Bay Area. So thank God for those California state taxes, right?
Yeah, that's right. Hey, John, you know, just looking at the franchise tag numbers and how important defensive tackle has become, you know, and I think they're, what, third maybe as far as the franchise tag number. It's quarterback, wide receiver. They're even a little bit ahead of defensive ends. But, you know, and your priority signing Leonard Williams, it's just, and I think it's also kind of confusing to people because they don't put up big numbers. If you get double-digit sacks as a defensive tackle, my God, I mean, it's like Cortez Kennedy, you know. But,
right, exactly.
But, yeah, it's kind of interesting how the game has shifted a little bit. And, you know, the money tells the story, right? Like, running backs are,
exactly,
you know, the last, you know, other than kickers, then tight ends. But, yeah, D-tackle, just amazing how important that is to your team based on, you know, where the numbers go.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you have to take those guys. You have to draft them very high. And, you know, or you have to, you know, trade for them and give up significant, you know, draft compensation in order to acquire those guys. And that's just the way it is. I mean, especially, you know, finding the big, you know, tall, long, athletic guys that can get off the ball and rush the passer like Leo can. He, you know, again, he's got that ability to, you know, you can move him around. And I think the defensive staff is, they're really excited to be able to work with him. But, yes, I mean, you know, Chris Jones basically set the market, you know, huge deal, rightfully so, great, great, great player. But, yeah, we've seen that creep up a lot last several years, and, you know, I think it'll continue to creep up as the cap increases.
John, you've talked about this in the past when it comes to the draft, that you guys draft the best guy possible, best guy on the board. It's not necessarily, oh, we need a linebacker, so we're going to draft a linebacker. I would assume with a new regime in there, you're in control, obviously, with a new coaching staff, that philosophy doesn't change.
Yeah, I don't think that won't be changing. Obviously, you know, our grades reflect what our team looks like. So, you know, where we are right now with the linebacker position, yeah, you know, that's going to be an area that we're going to concentrate on, but not any more than we have in the past with, you know, specific needs. Over time, you do get in trouble and, you know, when you do draft for need, and you have to learn from your lessons and you know, learn from, you know, some of the mistakes, you know, we've made over the years, and obviously, you know, drafting for need is one of those. And so we will continue to take the best competitors, people, and football players regardless of position.
Sorry, you
no,
can't
I know
see
that. That'll be scrutinized, right? No, I get it. Like, yeah, you know, they got to take this player, that player. I get it. And then, you know, you got to wait till they start playing football in the fall before we can start judging them.
Yeah,
yeah. John, as always, great stuff. We appreciate it. We'll see you in person.
I like
next
it much
time.
Better. I was gonna say it's much better than when we're like together. This is, You know, I'm not, you know.
Wait, you like this better? You don't like seeing
no,
us?
No. I like sitting with you guys better. It's like, you know, this just feels odd.
Yeah, you're alone with Pearson, right? That's got to be uncomfortable.
Oh, man.
It's just Dave and
that's
I.
Rough.
Yeah.
That's rough.
We appreciate you,
okay,
John.
Enjoy your time. Enjoy your vacation down there, fellas. I'm glad, you know, you guys are getting some time off here.
We're working our tails off.
Come on. Thanks, John.
All right, fellas. Have a great day.
There you go. Yeah. John Schneider, everybody. The John Schneider Show happening every Thursday here with Wyman and Bob all the way up until night number one of the NFL draft.
Hear Wyman and Bob every afternoon, 2 to 7.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.